Welcome, Ms. Hughes.
There's a lot of folks in the middle of the room here. Couldn't see you when I was sitting down. So as you said, my name is Dana Hughes, and I'm here from the University of Missouri. This work is based on a group effort out of the Institute of Public Policy. There's seven or eight of us, and then particularly on this paper, Dr. Jill Nicholson-Crotty, who's in the back corner here, also worked with me on this. And this work is funded in part by the Missouri Foundation for Health, but there's no commercial relationships to disclose, no disclosure here. So I was excited to hear, as people were talking, a couple of things I think are going to be relevant to this. In particular, Christine talked about some of the struggles that they had when they started working with community-based organizations and organizations not having a really good handle on data and how to use it in their evaluation and that planning and talking about having a long-term goal. Our last speaker talked about that. Particularly relevant here. And if you look into the public management literature, which is sort of Jill's discipline, where I come from a public health background, there's quite a bit of information about how organizations can use evaluation to go about managing and measuring what they're doing while it's in progress, and not just at the very end. And that literature is pretty extensive, and it, you know, looks at the history of it, why it's really important, obstacles that managers face when using that the information that they're collecting, and also ways that people have been really creative and entrepreneurial in using the information that they've been able to collect. In particular, there's a good bit of literature about plausible measurements of the same concept. So you can imagine there are quite a lot of ways that we can measure the activities we engage in. So we can measure outputs, like how many people are participating in our program and how much do they attend. We can measure outcomes related to satisfaction, or even if we're trying to measure the impact on people's health, do we use BMI, do we use an increase in physical performance, or do we use blood pressure or cholesterol, or all these different things that we could choose as indicators of our outcomes. And there's a good bit of literature about even what you choose to measure a particular concept can change the way things fall out of your data. And the choices people make about the evaluation, the measurement can have a significant impact on the evaluation. So we want to be measuring both processes and outcomes. So if we only measure outcomes, do we know how we got there or what was important in that? And if we're only measuring the process, so we know we had a really great program and it was implemented the way we planned, but did it achieve what we wanted it to achieve? And so having both of those pieces is critical in evaluation. Pulling it off sometimes a little more difficult, which is what I'll talk about. And we will be talking a lot about outcome measurement today, but I don't want to ignore how important the process evaluation is as well. Nonprofit organizations in particular find this to be critical for a variety of reasons. Funding from government and foundation and donation purposes is becoming more and more tied to outcomes. And those resources coming from those funders are becoming more and more limited. It's becoming more difficult to get them, and so we want to make sure we're delivering the most efficient programs possible. And also when we have to make unfortunate decisions about cutting things, that we cut the least effective portions of our programming. And historically, performance measurement is a little less ingrained in nonprofit organizations due to a variety of mechanisms, particularly multiple funding streams that may have different requirements contributing to that. However, the need for this and the importance and the requirements for performance measurement are growing because of a growing accountability or sort of ethos in the area. And in particular, looking at how we can help organizations measure their programs better and use that information better, there are quite a few ways in which a lot of the work we do is very similar to each other. And there are a lot of ways that it's different, but to look for those successful practices that can be similar across programs and organizations is something we hope to do a little bit today. So just sort of wrapping up the initial piece here, that it's really important that regardless of the sector, that we remember different measures are going to yield different findings about our success. the data collection, and back to your point about we have to have goals for what we're trying to do, and that our data collection needs to include measures of those goals, and that really being able to identify were we successful or not is an important component of that, because there are implications for making that call one way or the other. So today I'm going to use a little bit of information from the Missouri Foundation for Health. So my the evaluation team that I'm a part of served as the external evaluators for one of their initiatives. It's a Healthy and Active Communities initiative. The foundation in general was created when Blue Cross went public a few years ago, and the dollars were used to pour into the Missouri Foundation for Health. In general, they address gaps in care for underserved and underserved populations across our state, at least most of the state, their service area. In particular, they decided to award quite a chunk of money to this effort, so a little over $11 million for obesity prevention, diabetes, and other community-based health interventions in this area. There were 33 grantees, 15 of them were funded in 2005 for 2 years, 18 were funded in 2006, so it's a little bit of a staggering of the group. And you can see a breakdown of the kind of grantees they are here. So we have about 12% of them as schools, another 30% of them or so are health departments, and then a pretty significant chunk with the majority of them being nonprofit community-based organizations. They also target, in addition to who they are targeting is a little different. So, and these obviously add up to much more than 100%, but most of them, or many of them, are targeting multiple populations. So almost 60% are targeting schools, 50% or so are in after-school programs. Preschool community is obviously a very significant group. Worksite as well, at least half of them had some portion of their grants going towards worksite interventions. And then a good chunk of them with healthcare as well. And you can see there's a heavy, although not exclusive, focus on youth in that group. So this is just a little bit. This is a map of Missouri. So the yellow area is the non-Missouri Foundation for Health service area. There's another foundation that serves that area. Each of the green counties has a Healthy and Active Community grantee in it. And then the diamonds represent the grantees. The upper corner here is the St. Louis area. You can see many of the grantees are there, but also a significant portion of the population of the service area is also in St. Louis. So that's, it may seem like a lot of people, but it is sort of proportionate to the people that they're serving. And the lower area is Springfield, which is another large area there, and there are three grantees in Springfield. In particular, this funding initiative has four goals. And they are focused on, I like to think of these, the first one as the behavioral goal, so they're wanting to improve people's behavior. The second one is they're trying to make sure the people in the service area are educated about healthy and active living. They're trying to increase access to healthy foods and exercise opportunities. And they are also looking to the grantees to enact local and organizational policies defined very broadly. So this isn't like a lobbying kind of activity, but more working with schools and workplaces to change some of their local policies. Although some people have engaged in a small amount of approved lobbying. And just to give you a sense of how people fall, this is under the four goals that are here in the program, the percentages of grantees who are engaged in each of those goals. Okay, so then we wanted to know, based on, you know, looking at the performance measurement, how have grantees gone about doing this? So of the 33, we have this big group of folks to look at. What can we learn from them? So what we reviewed were reports and interview guides and initial proposals for what they were going to be doing. And we were able to see both, so underneath the goals that the initiative outlined, what objectives the grantees identified that they would be working on. So what we were able to analyze was the type of objective. So is it just an output or an outcome objective? Whether or not those grantees specifically report on them. So do they use the objectives in organizing their programming, collecting information in an ongoing way, being able to report on that information so that it can then be used? And then we want to know whether they explicitly identify success. Continuing along that, we also looked at who conducted the evaluation. So was it an external person who they hired, an internal staff member designated as the evaluator, or was the project director serving as the internal evaluator? And then we also looked at the size and type of organization. So to tell you a little bit about what we thought, we felt like programs that had external evaluators were going to be more likely, they were going to be a little better at this skill. It was going to be more in their skill set, right? They were going to do the things that the literature would tell us that we want them to do. We would also expect that larger grantees would report more on data and success of their programs, based mostly on the staff and resources that they would have available for doing that. And we also thought that it would vary by sector, because our literature tells us that nonprofit organizations have done this less. It will not be as ingrained in the culture of their organization. But in public organizations like the health departments and the schools, that's really, you know, we think about No Child Left Behind with the schools and all the things that they're reporting on. So you expect them to be better at this performance measurement. And here's a little bit about what we found with our analysis. So 100% of the organizations, every single one who had hired an external professional evaluator, was able to report data that was relevant to their program goals. And that's in comparison to only about half of those who had internal staff serving as evaluator. And that was, it didn't matter whether they had a specific person designated as the evaluator or just the program director reporting on their goals. It was more the internal versus external made much more of a difference. This is more about the size of the organization, and this, as you can see, is actually opposite of what we thought was going to happen. So we felt like people who were in the yes row, who are reporting on their data more and reporting whether or not they were successful, were going to be those with more resources. And in fact, they were actually a smaller group, so they have much smaller budgets. Which is not consistent with what the literature tells us. And in talking about this, we feel like this may have more to do with the size of the particular funding source. So $200,000 to an organization with $4.8 million as its total budget, that's a bigger deal than it is to someone who has $16 million. There may be some other reasons. That's just sort of how we've been thinking about it. And then our bigger, another big finding is that schools are actually as good at this as we thought they were going to be. So they're really good at reporting. They report on the data. It's very much lined up with their objectives, and they say, we did it or we didn't. They very clearly talk about what they were able to achieve or not. And then remember, we thought governmental organizations, so our health departments, were going to then also be good at it, but maybe nonprofits were going to be less likely to report on these issues. And that's, in fact, not what we found. So the nonprofits and the governments were very similar to each other and weren't reporting quite as regularly as the schools were. So if we think about sort of wrapping this up and what this means for us, this is becoming more and more important to people. Funders are looking for it, donors are looking for it, all of our stakeholders. I mean, this is a growing area of importance for organizations. And we think it's really important that they carefully consider how to organize and manage their evaluations. And that doesn't mean just hire an external evaluator, because that would be really great for me, since that's what I do professionally, but more that they take a lot of time to consider that they're organizing their objectives in a way that they can have ongoing performance management, that it'll be manageable for them to collect and report on and in an ongoing way, not just at the end. Again, who conducts the evaluation does contribute to it, and there does seem to show some promise for working with an external person. Again, organization type matters, with schools having more experience with the performance management and completing the process more accurately. But this is not to say that this is an overly complicated process, but maybe that more training and technical assistance needs to be provided to different types of organizations, and specifically our funding agencies. So if I'm the Missouri Foundation for Health or another foundation, we feel like providing training and technical assistance to grantees so that we are getting really good information that can be fed back into programs and improve them in an ongoing basis is really important, and that's a tough skill. So we want to be sure that our funding agencies are considering that for professional development and capacity building. So that's all I have for today. This is mine and Jill's contact information, and I just want to say thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Dana. And our final presenter is Karen Chung. She comes to us from Macro International in Atlanta, Georgia. She's a research associate there, and she will be talking about the evaluability